Let's start with just a quick, short historical tidbit about the last stanza of Ma'os Tzur, which we know is the Chasof Zeroa Kadshecha, the Karev Ketz HaYeshua. So as far as Ma'os Tzur is concerned in general, historians cited in Sefer Nesiv Bina, which is a sefer on tefillah written by Rabbi Yisachar Yaakovson. He cites historians who theorize that Ma'os Tzur is written somewhere back before the year 1250. Perhaps in Germany. We all know the acrostic of the song spells out the name Mordechai, so obviously the author's name is Mordechai. And they suggest he probably lived in Germany sometime before the year 1250. They don't know exactly when. So that's the theory about the authorship of Ma'os Tzur in general. However, the last stanza, Chasof Zroa Kadshecha, some suggest that it was written at a later date. For example, in a recent shiur of Usher Weiss, quoted Sefer Mekor Chaim. If you go to the Beis Medrash, you'll see a Sefer Mekor Chaim, which is on Hilchos Pesach. That's a different Mekor Chaim. That is not the one he's referring to. He's referring to a more recently published, by that I mean 1980s, publication called Mekor Chaim, which is a publication of a manuscript that was written in the 1600s, authored by the Chavos Yar, one of the great, great Gedolei Achronim, Gedolei Poskim of his time. He was a Rav in Germany, Chavos Yar, of Yar Bachrach. He's famous for his Tshuvas Chavos Yar. He wrote a sefer on Hilchos Ora Chaim called Mekor Chaim. So if you look on the handout, he writes in his notes on Simon Tuf Reish Ayin Vav, which is Hilchos Chanukah, Minag Ha'olam Shemosifin Achar Ma'os Tzor Charuzazu. It's the Minag Ha'olam to add after Ma'os Tzor the following stanza. Which gives you the impression that, you know, everyone was already singing Ma'os Tzor. In fact, Ma'os Tzor is referenced in Sefer Leket Yosha, which is a compilation of Minhagim written by a Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshin. So that goes back to the 1400s. He references Ma'os Tzor. So Ma'os Tzor has been around for quite a many centuries. So the Chavos Yar writes that the Minhag Olam is to add after Ma'os Tzor the following stanza. And he then cites, with slight differences, Chasof Zroa Kadshecha, Bekarev Ketz HaYeshua. Notice the next phrase. Nikom Nikmas Nafshi, Miad Malchus HaRasha, avenge on my behalf from the evil kingdom. Ki Orchali Hasha, Ve'en Ketz Lizos Hara, there is no end to this evil. This evil. Betzel Tzamon Terdof Admon, pursue the Admon in the shadow of death. Who is the Admon? We assume it means Christianity. Why is that a reference to Christianity? Esav, Admon, Vayetze Harishon, Admoni, the red one, a reference to Esav, to Rome, to Christianity. So the Mekor Chaim, writing in the late 1600s in Germany, says that people had a practice of adding on this stanza. Now, of interest, he then quotes yet another stanza, which he attributes to the Ramah. If you're interested in seeing the Ramah, the Ramah's stanza includes Chazek Yisrael v'tachnia Yishmael, strengthen Israel and subdue Islam, or the Arabs. That's the Ramah writing in the 1500s. So the Chavos Yar cites the stanza in the name of the Ramah. He then quotes other stanzas, one written by Rabbi Yirmiyahu, who was the Av Beis Din of Würzburg, Germany. He has a stanza there. He also speaks of redeem your sheep from Edom and Yishmael. And then the Chavos Yar composes his own stanza that he adds on to the end of Ma'os Tzur. And of interest is that the Chavos Yar is not the only one to quote this stanza of Chasov Zroa Kadshecha. It is also quoted in Sefer Kitzur Hashla. Sefer Kitzur Hashla, written by Rav Chiel Michel Epstein, not the author of the Aruch HaShulchan, who lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s, but rather a Rav Chiel Michel Epstein of Germany, who published this Sefer Kitzur Hashla in 1683. So he is a contemporary of the Chavos Yoar, and he's essentially summarizing the takeaways from the famous Sefer Shnei Luchos HaBris, which is a big work written by Avishai Horowitz, who was very much steeped in Chachmas HaKabbalah, one of the Gedolei Yisrael of his time. So this is a later, younger contemporary of his who kind of like is summarizing the takeaways for the Hamonam, those who aren't qualified to study the Shnei Luchos HaBris, the Shlah. Here's his short, abbreviated version of it, Sefer Kitzur Shnei Luchos HaBris. So he also, as you see on the middle of the page here, cites, I have found it written that since the Mo'oz Tzur song only references Malchus Bavel, Malchus Madai, Malchus Yavan, but it doesn't reference the fourth Malchus, Golas Aram and Yishmael, so therefore they instituted additional stanzas that speak about our redemption of this Golas. And he also cites Chasof Zroa Kadshecha, but he has Chasof Zroacha Kedoshi, he has here. Chasof Zroacha Kedoshi. Okay, slight differences. He also cites the Ramaz stanza and the Rabbi Yirmiyah of Wurzburg stanza. So this Sefer Kitzur Shnei Luchos HaBris, by the way, of interest, as I happen to have noticed by accident on the Sfarim blog, is criticized by Rabbi Yaakov Emden. This was published in 1683. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Shelos Yavetz, a son of the Chacham Tzvi, who lived in the also late 1600s, early 1700s, in his Tshuvas, Shelos Yavetz, Chelek Aleph, Simon Kufla Medalit or so, he criticizes a psak in this sefer as being incorrect, a Hilchos Chalorated psak, and then he makes vague reference to the fact that this sefer, he says, I'm not going to publicize what it is, but he says this sefer at the end of its hakdama has a hidden danger. And he's very vague what it means, but Yaakov Emden was known for being very, very outspoken in his drive to unmask any and all Sabbateans, followers of Shabtai Tzvi, who died in the 1600s. And on the Sfarim blog, they quote Rabbi Dr. Schneur Lyman of this neighborhood, who writes that Rabbi Yaakov Emden was, in effect, attacking this sefer as being written by a believer in Shabtai Tzvi. And what they point out in the article in Sfarim blog is that if you look at the end of this sefer's hakdama, which I have here, the end of the brief hakdama, he says, we should be zocha, he writes the author, to see Pnei Melech Mashiach Ha'amiti. Pnei Melech Mashiach Ha'amiti. And then he writes as well, V'gam Yizku al Yemos Mashiach. They should also be zocha to Yemos Mashiach. Okay, seems somewhat innocuous. Big deal, you know, everyone hopes for Mashiach, Yemos Mashiach, Mashiach Ha'amiti, the true Mashiach. And if he's writing right after Shabbat Tzvi died, it would make sense to say we should be zocha to see the true Mashiach. But what this article in Sfarim blog points out, and you can see it online, he shows you a copy of one of the earliest editions of this printed sefer, in which the Hakdama has the following. Apostrophe marks on these words, taken out in this later edition that I have. But in the original edition, he shows you the photocopy of the introduction page. These four words have the apostrophes, or quotations. Mashiach ha'amiti, imos Mashiach. Now, apostrophes or quotations usually signifies abbreviation. Or it might signify, they write, gematria. Quick calculation, please. Mashiach ha'amiti, what do you got? Give me the numbers. Mashiach ha'amiti.
358.
This phrase and this phrase. I mean, it's pretty much the same phrase, right? Yemos is the same as Vav is Hey Aleph. Yemos. So Yemos ha'amiti are the same. And Mashiach is the same. So each phrase is the same, obviously. Okay. Right? But just give me one phrase. What is what's the matter of one phrase here?
784.
Okay, any math majors here?
814,
thank you. 814. Did you add it up?
This is the bottom I'm saying.
340, 350, 358?
This is the bottom I'm saying.
363, 364. 404, 804, 814. They're both the same, right? Yamos is the same as Hamiti, 814. And that would equal what?
1628.
Not to Adam. I say 814.
No.
What do you got?
No, oh, well.
Shabtai Tzvi is what?
300.
300, 700, 710, 712, 714.
Yeah, plus 9. Wait, wait,
724, 814. There you go. Okay, so Shabtai Tzvi equals 814, which is the same gematria as Yemos Mashiach or Mashiach Ha'amiti with one yud, not two. So Dr. Lyman writes that there's no doubt in his mind that this sefer is alluding to Mashiach Ha'amiti as Shabtai Tzvi. And that's what Yaakov Emden was furious about and was criticizing. Yaakov Emden writes that because he didn't publicize it, he kept it hidden. So I'll keep my criticism of him hidden as well. Which is a very, very fascinating para. As one other additional reference at the end of the sefer, he speaks of Kadosh Baruch Hu should send us Nezer Rashenu. Nezer Rashenu. Nezer Rashenu. Which apparently is a phrase, Aklaman writes, that was a common reference to Shabtai Tzvi. Nezer Rashenu. Just out of curiosity, does the gematria here add up? 3, 5, 7, 757, 807, 813, 814. There you go. 814. Nezer Rashenu. 814. Okay. Anyways, as an aside, that's Sefer Kitzur Shla, but he cites also the reference to Chasof Zroa Kadshecha, or in his Nusach Chasof Zroacha Kedoshi.
So it's more about the fact that it's quotation rather than the actual words.
It's the fact that he used the words. The proof that he meant it in gematria is the quotations that were in the first three editions, but not in the later editions. Correct, right, right. So the proof is that he put quotations, which he should not have been doing, unless he meant to signify count the gematria, right? That's what they're arguing. What?
Is that people use that for gematria?
I guess in older Svarim, perhaps they did. I mean, whenever you look at Svarim that list the publication year, sometimes, right, sometimes instead, like, they use a word that adds up to the Hebrew year, and they put little quotations to signify add up the numbers, right?
Even if
what? Right. Okay, so that was just as an aside. But it seems from the Chavos Yar and from the Sefer Kitzur Shla that the stanza Chasof Zroa Kadshecha, I guess, is first recorded in the 1600s. There is, however, one fascinating theory. I don't know if it's historically accurate or not. Dr. Yom Tov Lewinsky, I don't know who that is, but he authored a sefer, or he edited a book called Sefer HaMoadim, has the following fascinating suggestion. He's assuming that maybe this stanza was actually part of the original composition of Moos Tzur, and yet it was deliberately omitted from print, from written record, due to the sensitivity of the content of the sefer, of the stanza. We said that the origins of Moos Tzur are possibly dated back to 1200 or so. So he writes, if it was in fact written in Germany around that time, the Holy Roman Emperor in Germany at that time was a man known as Friedrich Barbarossa, Frederick I. Barbarossa in Italian is Red Beard. He was known in Germany as Kaiser Rotbart, Emperor Redbeard. And you find pictures from online, you'll see flaming red beard. Frederick I, flaming red beard. He was the one who launched the Third Crusade after the Muslim conquest of Jerusalem in 1187. He joined together with King Philip Augustus of France and King Richard Lionheart of England to launch the Third Crusade to retake Jerusalem. And as you can well imagine, Jews living in Germany at that time undoubtedly had heard horrific stories of the massacres of the German communities, of Mainz, of Worms, of Speyer, that occurred during the First Crusade less than 100 years earlier in 1096. They undoubtedly heard from their grandparents who had survived and witnessed the Crusades the first time around of those horrible massacres. And now their emperor is launching a third crusade. You can imagine they probably were, for good reason, quite fearful. And so this Yom Tov Lipinski suggests maybe Dechei Armon, cast aside the red one, was an obvious reference to any contemporary Jew to Kaiser Rothbart himself. Now, if you were a Jew living in Christian Germany in 1180s, 1190s, you would not want that to be written down anywhere. That would be bad for the Jews. So he suggests maybe that's why the stanza was kind of kept quiet and off the written record, because of the sensitivity involved in praying for the Christian Roman German emperor to be cast aside. Interesting theory. Is that accurate or not? I don't know. It does seem from Chavis Yar that the stanza became customary only a few centuries later, not way back when in 1200. But an interesting thought nonetheless.